What, dude, we're back. Extra episode. Man, we see everybody pumped up about one team. Everybody's pumped up about the Thunder, and we want to talk about the motherfucking architect.
Yeah, dude, it's all about Sam Presti. It's about what he's done. It's about how he's taken us through the years. It's about failed attempts at getting this team back to the playoffs and being good, to recognizing he needed a trade for another player, to recognizing he needed to blow up the entire fucking team. So this is going to be really just focusing on what Sam Presti's had to do to really modernize the Oklahoma City Thunder into today's game.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. I mean, if you don't know, you know, we shouldn't make too many assumptions, but we know the story of the Thunder, you know, kind of all the way up until like what's happened recently, right? And we saw this team make it to the finals. We saw them get to the conference finals. We saw them realize, like Sam Presti realized that he needed to rebuild. And we saw Russ and Paul George head out the door, and we saw a new group come in. And it was, sure, it was Chris Paul there, and that held us from, you know, going into the draft, you know, in a great spot. But we got playoff experience for a team that included Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lou Dort, and we ended up seeing that team mature. Now we're starting to see the fruits of that, you know, season. We're starting to see the fruits of so many different things. But there's this common thing right now where it's like people are saying the Thunder have Buku draft picks, Chet Holmgren, and they're really good right now. So it's kind of hard for them to kind of like know how to feel about this. Like, and there's a sort of this fear. It almost seems like people are afraid that they think Sam Presti is going to like fumble again around the goal line. And really what we're looking at is somebody who really broke the NBA.
Yeah. And look, guys, let's just be honest. Sam Presti hasn't really cashed in on any of these draft picks yet. Okay. We can talk about real quickly the J-Dub one he cashed in on. We can talk about the Jang one. Right. From the trade of the Şengün
trade. It's hardly ready to say that we've seen Rockets. Any of those fruits of that develop yet, right?
And then we have, you know, Chet and Josh Giddey, which are our own picks. Right. So we haven't, I mean, yes, we have Shai out there from the fruit of the Clippers trade, but we really haven't started cashing in on those last three picks that we have from him, which I think will be more valuable than anything else we've had from the Clippers at this point. And so, again, we're looking at a team that's the second youngest in NBA history, only behind last year's team, right? That plays harder than any other organization, any other team out there as a team. There's no other team that can compete with us playing as a team.
Maybe Memphis, but I'm with you. We're in that top echelon.
Elite.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in that elite company right there. And then we start looking at the way that the coaching systems, right? Mm-hmm. You got Sam Presti that brought in Chip England. And we talked about it at the beginning of the season, and I was like, Chip's going to change everything. And there's people out there saying that Chip's fucking up all these guys' shots. And look at how Josh Giddey can't shoot. And look at how, you know, this player's having trouble and Shai's having trouble. Well, guess what? All that stuff has evened out. And it showed how much more elite Sam Presti is at thinking about the next level with these guys, recognizing that, you know, Josh needed help with his shot, with the mechanics of his shot, that these other guys needed help. So what does he do? He goes out and gets the best shooting coach in the NBA. And for whatever reason, he was available. Because Coach Popovich's last year is in San Antonio. I mean, that's if he doesn't decide to come back for one more year, that they get, you know, the number one pick or something like that. But this is his last year in San Antonio. Don't you think that Chip England, who's been there since the 2000s, early 2000s, don't you think he would want to be there part of that? Mm-hmm. How was he available? I don't know. But
money.
He's here. He's working
out. Priorities, baby.
Also, the other person that Sam Presti hired after the draft was the draft expert. The late round draft. Yeah, from the Sixers. He is unbelievable, guys. Like the way that he is able to break down the games and how he's going to help Sam Presti understand who he's going to pick in some of these later draft picks.
We wish we had his name in front of us,
get.
But we don't. But there is a guy from the Sixers that we got right around the same time as Chip England. And it's like, now we're looking at it and it's like, this is an investment by Sam Presti in the organization.
And do you think it's a coincidence that we end up getting Isaiah Joe not much longer after that? You know, like these are all setups. You know what I'm saying? These are all moves by Sam Presti that are so next level that you have to take a step back and say, okay, youngest team, hardest working team, one of the youngest coaching staffs, if not the youngest coaching staff in the NBA, right? You've got your G League that's in sync with your NBA team. Bro, the organization has been built from the bottom up,
right,
like a championship organization. And so then when we come in here and we're saying, using words like dynasty, mm-hmm, and the beginning of a dynasty and stuff like that. And the reason is because the beginning of every single dynasty starts in the offense, a front office, right? It starts with the GM. It starts with hiring the right coaches, hiring the right draft experts, hiring the right players, right? Bringing the right players on board, mm-hmm, okay? That's why when we see a lot of draft people out there saying, hey, we need a trade to get a center here, we need a trade to get this player here, we take a step back because it's not that we don't think that we need those, but we take a step back because Sam Presti has laid out his vision for this team. And trading for a player like that isn't in his vision, because if he wanted to trade for a player like that, we would have kept Al Horford.
Yeah.
If you wanted to trade for a player like that, we would have kept Kemba Walker. If you wanted to trade for a player like that, we would have kept all these other guys there. So there's no, you know, in my mind, there's no reason, right, that Sam Presti's out there saying we're looking for a center, because he's like us. He's in love with this team as is. He's got the coaching staff that are teaching them. He's got the front office that's helping them. He's letting the chips ride.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And what more powerful way of sitting back and enjoying what's happening instead of trying to manipulate and control what's happening? Like, Sam Presti is so next level that it's truly spectacular, because we as Thunder fans get to watch him work his magic, hopefully for the next couple of decades.
Yeah. Yeah. I think back to when Presti, you know, went to recruit Durant to stay with the Thunder when he decided to go to the Warriors. And one of the things he had in that meeting I heard was that, like, the Thunder was the winningest team, or one of the top, I think, five winningest teams in all of sports and all of the world, not just United States professional sports, right? I think we had like the fourth best winning percentage since we got to Oklahoma City. And I think about that and him getting rejected by Durant. And what he must have come to the conclusion of, in my opinion, was that you can't build top down like we were trying to do the first time. You have to build bottom up, like you're saying. And then there was the trade where we got all the draft picks. And you notice now we only have one pick, Josh Giddey out there at the number six pick, who is playing, who's a really early pick. And we're anticipating a number of really good early picks. And we're already seeing this improvement. That would be like if we were, you know, playoff level before Kevin Durant showed up. And if that had happened, maybe Kevin Durant doesn't feel such a burden for carrying the team. Maybe he stays. Maybe we win a championship earlier and that's enough. There's so many different what ifs. But in the end, understanding the depth, understanding players like Lou Dort and Kenny Hustle and their value to the team, and understanding Wiggins and Trey Mann and their value if they can, you know, for continuing to become a better team. We didn't have depth before when we got to the finals. So you build from
weren't we counting on like Waiters or Waiters?
No, Waiters wasn't the in the finals, but it was Cook. Yeah, I think Daquan Cook or something like that was one of our big shooters. Like, it was we didn't have depth. And when we got to the to the conference finals against the Warriors, we didn't have depth. And there was constantly issues with that. Like, and so understanding that this team has been molded to be kind of the antithesis of that, not just from depth, but also from the ISO style of basketball, where one player is making a play and everybody knows it and everybody's going to stand around. Now we see a team that's coached the way that really modern basketball is played, which is player movement, ball movement. And so it's not just the players, it's not just the system, it's not just the training staff like you mentioned, or the front office like you mentioned, but it's really, there's a moment we like to always go back to, and it was when Sam Presti grew his beard. Now, that's to us, we look at it and it was the time of trading, you know, Russ and Paul George was really on the table. I think it was either right before or after. He went to Vermont for the summer. He grew out a beard, and you could tell that he took some acid up there or something, because he came back, right? He came back with a new idea of how the game was played and how it was going to be run. And he took the long-term approach. He took every lesson. It reminds me of like if I was playing like Mario back the original Nintendo, right? And I would like if I got to Bowser, right, and I died, right? You go back to the early rounds where you know where there's a free mushroom, you can just keep getting free life, free life, free life. Get 100 lives, right? And give yourself 100 chances against Bowser. And here we are with this team, and we're looking at it and we're like, that's what's happened. These picks represent new opportunities, new opportunities. So we have the opportunities set out for the future. So when we get to the chance, we were not going to be completely expended like we were last time. We won't be begging for a player like Kevin Durant to stay, because if he doesn't stay, we're fucked. He's going to be begging to stay because he understands how many championships we're going to win. And there are so many other teams that you can look at as, like you said, like the Grizzlies, the grit and grind Grizzlies of the past or the present, but understanding that we had the top end talent, but we didn't have that work ethic amongst the other guys. And we maybe bring in a guy like Kirk and hope that he could like help everybody out, but it wasn't happening. Now we have the grit and grind mentality. We've got the top end talent. We've got the future assets. And some people are confused by what it all means. Don't be confused. And don't be feeling like wait until they get Chet out there. Wait until, like, there's no waiting. This team is badass right now. If you're not paying attention, you're missing out on a ton of the fun. And when you put it all together, we're talking about what you said, bro. You said dynasty, dude. It's a motherfucking dynasty.
You know, I think about the first year of our rebuild, and Sam Presti, I don't know if he was the one that was picking this music, but he had this
I know what you're talking about.
I think it was Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar.
Loyalty.
In the DNA.
In the DNA.
Right. I think about that. And a lot of times, you know, the way that us Americans have been raised, right, it's you play in your small market, then you leave for the big market, because the big market is where the Lakers and the New York is and all this other stuff. Right.
It's all about the Benjamins.
It's all about the dough. Right. All about the money. And I think about this, and I go back to how Sam Presti has been able to create this loyalty mentality inside of our organization. It has everything to do with going out and getting some of the top international players on the board. You know, you think about Josh Giddey. You think about, you know, Shea, Dort. I mean, we're stacked with international players. And the reason I think that's key, and continuing to make sure that we draft these international players, right, and Jang, we have to be able to compete with the big guys out there. Right. In order to be able to compete with the big guys, we have to create this loyalty mentality of somebody like Dort that's willing to take less money, you know, somebody that's willing to give it up a couple, $3-4 million in a year because they're going to recognize that they're going to win a championship. Like, and that's the only way that this team is able to stay together through the next 10 years is by people coming to the table and saying, I could get this. I could get $200-something million going to play for this organization. But I'll take 180 playing for you guys. You know, like, this is what we need to be able to extend what we were trying to build here. And yes, we'll have more money and there'll be deeper pockets inside of the Oklahoma City Thunder ownership. But the reality is what Sam Presti's been able to do and create this loyalty mentality and understanding that this is not just the short money, but this is the long term, you know? And I go back to a lot of things Sam Presti says, and especially the 0-0 mentality mindset, right? But the one that really changed it for everything, for that switch, you talked about the beard, right? Mm-hmm. And he came back in that interview, right? And you remember what he said, that interview that he came back with that beard?
I don't know.
He said, scared money, don't make none.
Right.
You know, and that's where he's at, man. Like, he recognized if he just sits as the team goes and nothing else changes, they're going to get old. And then they're not going to be worth anything. But if he capitalizes when they're worth money and when they're worth it at the top of the level, he gets everything in exchange. You know? And on top of that, he's sending these players where they want to go. You know? Think about Al Horford back to Celtics. You think about Russell Westbrook. He wanted to go to the Houston Rockets. I mean, he made that clear. Right? I mean, Chris Paul. He wanted to go to the Suns. You know, you think about this, guys, and you think about what Sam Presti has done. He has put players first instead of the max amount that he can get for each of these players. What other GM has ever done that? I can't think of anyone that has consistently done that. Paul George wanted to go to the Clippers. Like, he helps these guys go where they want to go. And so when they get older in life, Shea knows when he gets older in life and he goes to Sam and he's like 31, 32 and says, hey, I want to go play for the Lakers. I want to go play for New York, or I want to go play for Toronto. He knows that Sam's going to send him there. Again, it's a loyalty thing. And if you say he wants to stay, he wants to be, had his number, you know, up in the rafters, and he gets to stay because it's loyalty. And that's what we're teaching in Oklahoma City inside of the organization. And it's so next level, again, that when people say, if you guys can keep your team together, you guys will be a dynasty. It's no if we can keep this team together. Right. It's when we keep this team together and when the dynasty starts.
Yeah, I think one of those lessons that he must have learned was, you know, whenever that new TV money came in and back to losing Durant, right? Like, that was really painful. But you look at how many picks he has now, I think a lot of people maybe misunderstand what the use of those picks are. They think, the Thunder are going to keep getting younger and younger and younger.
Yeah.
And to some extent, just because guys like Mike Muscala, or Mike, maybe just, you know, he brings up the average ages of the team, although not by much, but like that could happen. But these picks are more about making sure that the guys out there have the longest window they can. Like, that's what it's about. Like, at some point, those picks, the ones that, like, we're going to trade and we're going to keep pushing them further down the line. You can't push it further than 7 years down the line. So at some point, like, those picks will be conveyed potentially as a replacement of some of the guys that we're seeing out there. But for the most part,
sure,
when you look at why we weren't able to keep that team together, the original Thunder team, the one that made it to the finals, it was a lack of other assets. And having those assets gives us the ability to add a piece, but not the type of piece that people are thinking of. Like, the more like Kenny Hustle type piece that nobody sees coming. Like, if we know that person's name,
so beautiful,
right, we're not going to actually, like, he's going to be too expensive, right? It's going to be somebody that's unheard of, who does the right things, and who will long-term bring in value to this team the right way. So I always look at it like very simply, like this is our core, right? If anybody plateaus and they stop improving, they become all about like themselves or whatever. Of course, like, we have options, but in the end, the primary job is to watch this team. I mean, try to watch the celebration between Dort and Shea after Dort's defense against Murray, and tell me that Sam Presti's just itching to tear those guys apart.
Man, you're right. And to me, when I hear people talk about trading J Dub or trading Trey Mann or trading these guys, it's a non understanding of what Sam Presti's trying to do for our future.
Right.
You know, like, you can't win a championship with only one shooter off your bench. You can't. So who does he have? He has five guys that can shoot off his bench. You can't win a championship without rebounders. What does he have? A whole fucking team with that rebounds. You can't win a championship without defense. So what does he have? The best young defensive team ever to play the game. And to me, this is where it's starting. This is where it's at. The understanding, the knowledge, the way that Josh Giddey plays, the way that Shea plays, it's with that Sam Presti heart. It's that DNA that Sam Presti has been able to teach everybody in the organization, from the top all the way down to the people that clean the floor. Sam Presti is so next level that we are all just standing here in awe and just lucky enough that we get an opportunity to watch what he is capable of doing right in front of us.
Yeah, and if you think that you're afraid of falling in love with this team, if you're holding back because you've been hurt before, it's time to let go. It's time to go all in. Jump on in. The water's great, man. This team is fucking amazing. And every day, you know, I'm so fucking pumped up to watch. And if there's not a game, like, I feel like we need to talk. Like, I feel like talking to all of you guys is like one of the most important things to us, because like, we get this like energy, it's electric, and I can feel it. I can feel it coming from around the world. And I feel like we're really, really inspired. So we mentioned it before, we'll mention it again. Tomorrow, which is Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. We're going to go live, and we're going to just try to talk to you guys. We've never done it before, so I say try, because we don't know.
We know that you guys have questions. It's as simple as that.
Questions.
Because we have questions.
Yeah, like, as much as anything, I want to hear what you have to say. Like, I want to hear, because I keep seeing these comments that are incredibly well written. They're a couple paragraphs, and I'm like, you know, you guys remind me of myself, because I had so much to say, like, and here we are.
Dude, and he's not even kidding. Like, he had to stop writing text messages to me and write emails to me because of, like, how long he had to say about the things about the Thunder. And this is before we started the podcast. Right. So, I mean, this has been going on for a long time.
I connect, man. I see this content that you're creating, and you even mentioned, so many of you guys will mention, I don't even know if you're reading my comments. I read all the comments. I wake up every morning, I'm reading your comments. They mean so much to me because, like, everything you're saying, I feel like there's something I can learn from what you're saying. So keep it up. And this, we'd like to start doing this pregame hangout. We'll see how it works. We'll see how it goes. But just to kind of give you guys a platform to just, like, to tell us what you think is happening, as much as, like, you, these days where we talk, like, we tell you what we think. Now, like, those days, you get to tell us what you think. All right?
Yeah, man. And I appreciate every single one of the comments, every single one of the subscriptions, every single one of the video likes. You guys really mean a lot to us. We don't want you guys to go out of your way to follow us or subscribe to us. That's not what we want. We want you guys to be able to enjoy what you're hearing. Talk to us in the comments, and that way we can understand who you are as individuals. And that's what we want. We want to create a community with you guys. And that's what's the most important thing out of all the things that we're trying to do here, is we just want as many people around us as possible that love this team as much as us. So thanks again for listening, guys. We love each and every one of you, and we'll be back on tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys turn us on. We hope we can turn you on as much as you turn us on. We love you.
Flick the beam, baby.
Love you.